Psalm chapter 28, that's what I'm talking about. And I just read the first verse and the inscription in the first verse, and I'm reading from the New King James Version today. Psalm 28, it says, in most of your Bibles it says a Psalm of David, unless you have the New American Standard Bible or the English Standard Version, and it says, of David. Verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. I'll read verse 2 also. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant, gracious, and magnified blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And here we'll just go right into it. We do have a prayer meeting, and we have prayed tonight. The title from expounding upon the title itself or the inscription, Charles Spurgeon says this in Treasury of David. Again, the title, A Psalm of David, is too general to give us any clue to the occasion upon which it was written. Its position as following the 27th seems to have been designed, for it is a most suitable pendant and sequel to it. It is another of those songs in the night of which the pen of David was so prolific. The thorn at the breast of the nightingale was said by the old naturalist to make it sing. David's griefs made him eloquent in holy psalmody. The main pleading of this psalm is that the suppliant may not be confounded with the workers of iniquity, for whom he expresses the utmost abhorrence. It may suit any slandered saint who, being misunderstood by men and treated by them as unworthy character, is anxious to stand aright before the bar of God. Now, I highlighted this, the emphasis is mine. The Lord Jesus may be seen here pleading as the representative of his people. I put that entire paragraph in there so that that very last sentence would be highlighted. Again, that's from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. Now, as with last week, because it says of David, the inscription, Le David in Hebrew, it means of David, or it can mean also to David or for David, which is very important. And young people, I will have some stuff specifically for you for the Bandana Gang after this, at the end of this little devotional. The key verse is verse 1, and it's in your handout. It's provided in the King James Version. It says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. The New King James Version says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Now, the word lest, remember, every time you see the word lest in there, it means for fear that. So if you exchange the word lest, if you're having trouble figuring out what that means, from the New King James Version, it says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, for fear if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Again, verse 1 is the key, I believe, is the key verse to the psalm, as you'll see as we go through it just in an overview for our devotional today. Verses 1 and 2, we see Christ in the psalm, and in verses 1 and 2, I would call this by the heading, the righteous prayer of Christ on behalf of sinners. Read verses 1 and 2 again. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. The verse 1 is the key, but also verse 2 is included with it, how that he makes request, Jesus Christ, by his whole life and in his every prayer, is making requests unto the Father on the behalf of sinners such as we are. And we're grateful for that. In the night that he was betrayed, Jesus' high priestly prayer as recorded in John chapter 17. Verses 9 and 10 specifically say this from the New King James Version. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. In verse 10 it says, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus Christ, every prayer of Jesus Christ is ours as a possession. He was the righteous man who prayed on behalf of us, because even the very best of our prayers, since they're prayed by lips that are attached to bodies that still have the corruptions of flesh in them, we want his prayers to be the ones heard. And so that's why when we pray and we don't know what to pray, we don't have to be discouraged, because Christ is praying, has prayed for us, and the Holy Spirit continues to pray on our behalf while we are yet living. Verses 3 through 5 in this section, we see Christ in this by the imputed prayer of Christ as blessed substitute. Verse 3 says, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. In this section where he's speaking of those who work iniquity, and saying that don't withhold your justice from them. He's actually praying that when he receives the God's wrath on our behalf, on those Jesus is saving, by God's grace, that when he suffered God's wrath, this prayer fell upon him. It'll certainly fall upon those who do not believe Jesus, those who have rejected Christ and hate God. Those who do not believe, this prayer will be upon them. But Jesus took this prayer on behalf of all of us who have been saved by his grace. So it's imputed. His prayer is imputed upon himself, in fact, because he is the righteous one, and by having the evil fall upon him, we are free from the evil that we so rightly deserve. Verses 6 and 7, we see the perfect praise of Christ as beloved Son. Verses 6 and 7 are wonderful verses to meditate upon, because here we see the perfect praise of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Right there. When was there ever a time when Jesus Christ made a request to the Father that it wasn't heard? On the cross, the only time. But otherwise, it was always heard. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. We're grateful that there has been no other man upon the face of the earth from Adam until Jesus Christ returns that will never praise God in the manner in which he deserves to be worshiped and praised, except for Jesus Christ. And because he did, every praise of ours is received of God as if Jesus Christ himself praised, because his praise was perfect, and his praise is imputed or is counted unto our account. We will never praise like Jesus, and see our frame is imperfect. In your notes, I provided you two verses this time, Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. In the New King James Version, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. Verse 26, it says, my flesh and my heart fail. Most many of you know it from the King James Version, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now, at what time did Jesus' flesh and his heart ever fail him? Never. His heart broke at that time when he died. He gave up the ghost, but basically at his death. But during his life, when did his heart fail? Never. When did his flesh fail? Never. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, he would have lived forever. He was perfect. There was no decay in him, no corruption whatsoever. So part of this is, whom have I in heaven but you? Who on earth besides Jesus who has ever loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength in thought, word, and deed? No one but Jesus. But when it says my flesh and my heart fail, that's where we transition, and this prayer becomes ours, because his heart, since during his righteous living life, his flesh and his heart never failed. Therefore, he who is perfect, who has the strength of God, God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. How much more do we need that? Because on behalf of our flesh, which fails, it's corrupt, we get old, we get hamstring injuries, we get our hearing starts failing, our memories start going, we sneeze, even as young people, and cough, and get sick, and have high fevers. This is an interesting statement from Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray lest, or for fear that, you enter into temptation. And then Jesus makes his statement. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, he was noting that Peter, when he called Peter, James, and John to pray along with him the night that he was betrayed and the night that he was arrested, that they were falling asleep and they were sleepy. And so, yes, he is making a statement concerning them, but he was also giving an eternal truth concerning all people, all human beings, that even by God's grace, our spirit is willing. However, our flesh always is weak. I didn't provide the reference, but Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I don't want to do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I know that in me, in Romans 7, verse 19, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And aren't you glad? Because Thomas Campbell wrote the music to a great Charles Wesley song that we sang tonight, And Can It Be? That's a hard song to sing. But even as we were singing it, and even there's times when I stopped kind of singing it because I couldn't catch my breath, because Jesus sang perfect praises to the Father, that our praise to the Father in Christ, in Jesus' name, was received by the Father as if Jesus had sung it. So that's wonderful to reflect upon. Finally, in verses 8 and 9, the close of this, it says, the Lord is their strength. Now see, it shifts in person. The Lord is their strength. He is saving refuge of his He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Verse 9, save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Here we see the interceding prayer of Christ to bountifully save, or bountifully save others. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and verse 25 says this from the New King James Version. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives, or ever liveth in the King James Version, always lived to make intercession for them. As Christ has been crucified, buried, risen, ascended into heaven, he continues to make intercession. Holy Spirit also continues to intercede on our behalf, because we know not how we ought to pray. And therefore, those whom God is saving through Jesus Christ, Jesus continues to pray. He continues to intercede, and people are saved. How do we apply these truths? We find that we must pray to the Father in Jesus' name in verses 1 and 2. And I want to make a special point concerning that, but I'll just wait and say and bring it to the bandana gang once we cover the 4 points in application. In verses 3 and because Jesus' prayer is imputed to him as a blessed substitute, he suffered God's wrath upon the tree that he hung upon, the cross. We should persevere by God's grace to exalt Christ and his cross because of the work that Jesus did, because that prayer where it says, do not take me away from with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, and then it speaks of them because they do not regard, in verse 5, it says they do not regard the works of the Lord. That's who we once were, and we were deserving of being taken away from the Lord and sent away and sent to eternal torment. But because Jesus received that and we believe on him, we should persevere by God's grace to exalt Christ's cross, because that was taken away from us through Jesus. Verses 6 and 7, as we see the perfect praise of Jesus, we should perceive always the weakness of our flesh and never take for granted that our flesh is weak and that we need God's grace always, always, and in all ways. Always we need God's grace. It's all of grace and none of self. And verses 8 and 9, we should, because Jesus continues to pray for the saved, even our evangelism is still the work of Jesus Christ. And when we go out, we just introduce people to Jesus. We just show them Jesus, and so we can praise God alone for his saving grace through Christ, because it's the power of Christ himself to save and not anything that's within us. It doesn't take away our responsibility to share the gospel with the lost world, but it does make it a lot easier when we see, hey, it was always Christ's work to save. It continues to be Christ's work to save. He just uses these fallen vessels that are redeemed by God's grace. Now, for the bandana gang, let me present to you, tonight we read Psalm 28. Comes after Psalm 27, oddly enough. It was written by King David. Now, the inscription which gives us information about the psalm is translated in our English Bibles, many of our English Bibles, a Psalm of David or of David. But like Psalm 27 last week, the original Hebrew may also be translated to David or for David. In other words, that though he is the king and a prophet, and since the psalm speaks of Jesus, the prophecies that we see as we see Christ in the psalms are also for David, as he's penning them, because it's about Jesus. So the prophecies are also for David's study, and it's for everyone after David who gets to read Psalm 28, therefore our study as well. Now, we've been learning about key verses when studying the Bible, and a key verse from the passage of this, a key verse from a passage or chapter of Scripture is important because it tells us the main thought about what we are reading. In Psalm 28 tonight, I said that the key verse was verse 1. Verse 1 is our key verse. And we should pray to the, and excuse me, verse 1 is the key verse. And it teaches about Jesus praying on behalf of sinners, because we don't often know how we should pray, and we don't often pray like we should, and sometimes, you know, our minds wander, or sometimes we'll pray because we've been angry and we should actually be humble. But if we believe in Jesus and pray because we believe in Jesus, that's why verse 1 is important. Because of verse 1, we should pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, praying in Jesus' name simply means to pray with faith in Jesus and who he is and what he has done. So sometimes we pray just to Jesus, but that doesn't mean that you're not praying in Jesus' name. What it does mean to pray in Jesus' name is that means when we go to God in prayer, is that our prayers, in our minds, we're recognizing that we can't pray unless we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life upon the cross, rose again, and is now seated in heaven for us. So that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name, because we're trusting in who he is and what he's done. And finally, Jesus is God and perfect man. And as perfect man, he relied upon God's strength and always trusted in God for strength. Psalm 27, verse 7 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." Now, we should always remember that when it comes to spiritual things, heavenly things, we are weak and need the strength of God. We must trust in who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross in order to have spiritual strength. You want to be spiritually strong? You need to trust in Jesus. As strong as I was in my younger days, didn't matter. Unless I trusted in Jesus, I was spiritually weak. We must trust in who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross in order to have spiritual strength, which means we have to have spiritual strength to pray. We need to have spiritual strength to read the Bible. We need to have spiritual strength to to worship God, and to go to church, to fellowship with one another, to share about Jesus. We need spiritual strength to do that, and so that's why we place our trust in Christ. We cannot trust our own strength or the strength of anyone else when it comes to heavenly matters. Sometimes we want somebody else to be strong for us. And that's a good thing, but we want somebody on earth to be strong for us. That's a bad thing. The one we want to be strong for us is the one who is strong. That's God. That's Jesus. And since he accomplished everything on the cross, that shows the greatest strength of anyone ever in the world. So that's what you want. That's who you want to trust in for strength. Who? Jesus. You want to trust in Jesus for strength. Any questions?